Next on BYUSN, Cougar football drops another five spot in this week's college football playoff rankings. Are the Cougars or any potential Big 12 champion in danger of missing the playoff altogether? John Kurtz of Open for Business and his Big 12 newsletter break down Kansas State's chances to beat Iowa State and if the Big 12 should move from 9 to 8 conference games.
Offensive lineman Connor Pay previews senior night against Houston, what position he's playing, and what BYU's learned from the past two losses. And point guard Dallin Hall previews tomorrow's game against Ole Miss in San Diego.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Thanksgiving Eve. It is Wednesday, November 27th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who likes to drop some good coin at Taco Bell, Jerem Jordan.
How did you know that? I was there last night at like 11:40, worked for the Spurs last night. I take front runner home. Hanging out with my boy Minty, one of our students on the train. And then I went to Taco Bell. But Oklahoma coach Brent Venables said that Saturday night he went to a Taco Bell in Norman after beating Oklahoma, and he and his daughters dropped $94.
$94?
How do you spend 94 bucks there? Your boy's getting the Lux box for $7. Like, that's, you know, affordable, and it's got like 4 or 5 items, including chips and queso.
What's the most expensive thing at Taco Bell? Is there like a $20 meal?
Like a party pack?
A family pack?
But you got 4 of those?
Did he buy food for everybody else in the restaurant?
What just happened? Also, I'm excited about Thanksgiving tomorrow. Yeah. I'm going to listen to the Adam Sandler song, Turkey for me and turkey for you. Explain your shirt, because it makes sense, but I
still go Wildcats!
I think Kentucky.
Yeah, so the blue would make one think that it could be a Kentucky t-shirt. It is not. It's blue for BYU. It encompasses a lot of things. Blue for BYU, but obviously the Go Wildcats for the navy and red of Arizona.
Yes.
And, of course, the purple and silver of Kansas State.
So this is good
all
for,
in.
This is good for 4 days.
Yes, we're all in.
And then it will be auctioned off for charity.
Listen, if Kansas State beats Iowa State and gets BYU into the Big 12 championship,
maybe
I might
wear
it next week. There might be room for it next
week. Yes, come on, Wildcat. Also, Zac Efron's, what was it? East High School of Musical, whatever.
Yes.
What is it?
High School Musical.
High School Musical, thank you. They were the Wildcats, were they not?
They were.
Get your head in the game, dude.
Get your head in the game.
Get your head in the
game. I can't wait to go to Taco Bell and spend $94 as I celebrate BYU's path to a Big 12 championship game.
I'll give you 20 bucks today if you go spend 94.
I'll only spend 74. Spend 74.
Yeah.
I like that math. All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
I don't care about seeding in the playoff. You just lost 2 in a row. Beggars aren't choosers. BYU a beggar right now.
If we don't win this week, if, you know, whatever happens, none of that stuff matters for us. What we do know for sure is this game against Houston. That's the most important thing regardless.
What's trending presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. You said beggars can't be choosers. It kind of feels like the entire Big 12 Conference and their status with the College Football Playoff Committee are more on the begging side than the choosing side. It's wild. Let's start with BYU, who falls to number 19, 5 spots in the latest college football playoff poll. They are the 3rd highest ranked Big 12 team, Jerem.
Yep.
Number 16, Arizona State, the highest. 16 is the highest. There are 5 teams there. 16? Wow. Okay, Iowa State at number 18. And then watch out for number 17, Tulane, representing the American Athletic Conference. And they are pacing, if they beat Memphis this weekend, to take on Army in the AAC championship game. Okay, and we'll get into why we're talking about Tulane and why all this matters in just a moment.
Yeah.
But, Jerem, first and foremost, if BYU wins the Big 12 title, and I know that's a huge if, is there any chance they do not make the college football playoff altogether?
I think this scenario, which, by the way, we should mention Boise State at 11, right? So they're one of the 5 highest-ranked champions, because it's not Power 4 automatic. It's just top 5 conference champs. Like, if the ACC had the same situation, they could be on the outside looking in. Big Ten and SEC will never. But if Boise State wins the Mountain West and then another league, it's the AAC, their champ is ranked higher than the Big 12 champ.
Tulane at this point.
On Selection Sunday, December 8th, then the Big 12 would be left out. But here's the thing. If one of the 4 2-loss teams, Arizona State, BYU, Iowa State, Colorado, get into the Big 12 title game and win, they would only have 2 losses, the same as a Tulane.
Sure. Well, Colorado has 3 losses now, right?
If it's Colorado, yes, you're right. But if it's one of the other three, that's right, then it's a two-loss Big 12 champ, and they're going to be ranked higher. Now, I don't believe that Colorado would be ranked behind Tulane in that scenario. I think that Colorado has too much juice with Deion and Shador and Travis, obviously, that team. They're exciting. They're fun. They had, 6 million people watch the game last week? 6 million? They draw a crowd. So I don't see this happening. It certainly is a possibility and should be discussed, as we are today and was last night. But I don't see that happening. I see a two-loss champ is the likely situation. We hope it's Brigham Young, obviously. But if it was Colorado or someone else, I just think the Big 12 strength of schedule will carry the day when the dust settles.
Yeah, I tend to agree. There's not enough space between Tulane and Iowa State or BYU. Arizona State's obviously in front of Tulane, but only one spot.
Yeah.
They're close enough that there will be more meat on the resume of whoever wins the Big 12 championship game.
And it's likely a ranked-on-ranked matchup.
And
likely.
Tulane will be playing Army, I believe, and that will not be a ranked versus right. ranked matchup. So I don't know how the committee would justify putting Tulane over whoever wins the Big 12 if, as you said, it is a two-loss Big 12 champ. That is the key.
Tell
the
me
team
about
needs
Colorado.
To be 11-2. Colorado at 8-3, they're number 25 in the poll. So if Colorado
10-3
backs their way into the Big 12 championship game by beating Oklahoma State and then having all of the chips fall in their favor, and then they win that game
is against a ranked
BYU
team, probably.
Or Arizona State. Well, I don't know.
Is
there enough to bump Colorado from low, mid 20s all the way up to number 15 if Tulane wins out?
They would likely beat a ranked team in the championship game.
That
Tulane's
gets hairy.
Not going to have that opportunity.
It gets weird, is my point. It gets super weird if Colorado is the team. I don't think they will be. I think it's going to be one of the two lost teams.
Yeah, I'm not super concerned about this. And, at the end of the day, obviously, we're talking sort of league look here as opposed to BYU. Hopefully BYU's in it and wins, and they would leapfrog Tulane, we believe.
If BYU wins the Big 12 championship, they will not worry about
Tulane. The strength
Tulane.
Of schedule,
it
the strength
will not
of
be
record,
an issue
the
with
quality
Tulane.
Wins, like SMU. We hope Kansas State beats Iowa State, and then Kansas State climbs, right? So Kansas State's still in the top 25 there. BYU still has two top 25 wins. In fact, BYU has a top 10 win.
Kansas
Spencer.
State won at Tulane, for crying out loud.
Yes, early in the season. That's right. They held on in the end, and that looks like a good win now. So Kansas State's resume is bolstered. Yeah, I mean, lots could happen. It's exciting. Man, have we forgotten about independence. Being in the Big 12 has been awesome, dude. We have this context. We're talking about the playoff and the Big 12 championships and tiebreakers. This is awesome. This is so fun.
The chaos.
I don't like losing two in a row.
Can be frustrating, but it is fun.
But BYU's in the mix. We couldn't ask for much more here.
The Rootables this weekend, by the way, a loaded conversation. There are so many teams that BYU fans need to be paying attention to. Beginning, of course, with the Cougars beating the Cougars from Houston, and then Iowa State, Kansas
yes.
State, and Arizona State. But after that, it's like, hey, root for Oregon State to beat Boise State and root for Memphis to beat Tulane.
There,
so that whole thing is just over.
There it is. And again, if BYU beats Houston and the Wildcats win, one of them, hence the shirt for Spence, Kansas State and Arizona, BYU would be in. Okay. Programming note, by the way. We're off tomorrow. Thank you. We're back Friday live. There's too much going on. We're back Friday. Okay. Kansas State head coach Chris Klieman in his press conference earlier this week talked about how the Big 12 is being punished for being competitive and having parity. Here's Klieman on a potential solution to allow the Big 12 to be in a better place for the playoff.
As a conference, we need to get together and figure some things out, because for a bunch of teams to be 9-3 and us not get any of those things in the college football playoff, then we've got to cancel one of these games. I don't care what people say. We then go to 8 games. In league play, or stay with 9 but play an FCS or play a group of 5. And I'd say, well, that would hurt you. I don't care. You say what you want. 10-2 looks better than 9-3. And we're going to visit at this year's conference meetings, and because we have to do things to benefit our league for the 12-team playoff.
Do you agree with this idea of, well, hey, let's just move to 8 games like the SEC in conference?
I don't think there's any argument that 10-2 with a weaker non-conference schedule at the end of the season looks better than 9-3. you see a double-digit win team and you're like, oh, yeah, they won 10 games.
Especially outside the Big Ten SEC. Mainly SEC, honestly.
So to his point, it's like, okay, let's play four non-conference games, including an FCS, maybe
two G5s.
Two G5s.
And then you have one Power Four.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So lighten the schedule at the front and then play eight conference games. And then maybe you only have one loss in conference and you are an 11-1 team instead of a 10-2 team. Or you're a 10-2 team instead of a 9-3.
If you're 11-1, you're in.
So there's some real meat to this conversation. Obviously, Coach Klieman is feeling that because Kansas State is a good football team, but they are 8-3. If they beat Iowa State, that's a quality win on the road, and they're not even sniffing the college football playoff.
They needed to be a one-loss team or barely a two.
So his team could win at Colorado, win at Tulane, and win at Iowa State. Three quality ranked road wins,
and
it wouldn't matter.
The playoff.
It doesn't matter. People are like, well, then don't lose to Houston. I get it. Don't lose to BYU by 29.
Yeah, BYU's a good team on the road.
If you take out, if you give a lighter schedule at the front, there's a better opportunity for your team to get to 10-2.
Look at Indiana.
Take away one of those. Take away one of the conference games that Kansas State played. Let's say they didn't play Houston. Okay, so now they've only lost to BYU, and then they have the three ranked quality wins, and then they have a middle tier loss in conference. It's not a bad loss per se against Houston. So, yeah,
their strength of schedule is two spots above BYU. By the way,
there you go. So I understand his frustration, and I think that conversation should be had because the SEC is doing it. They only play eight conference games.
If it's only, get to the playoff, which, by the way, is the number one goal. It's not even get to your Big 12, get to your championship game.
There are people that want championship games in the conference done away with.
It's too much money. It won't happen. But money is a concern here because TV contracts are based on volume of games and what you can offer. So the TV contract that the Big 12 has – starting next year, 31.6 a year per team. BYU are going to get a full share starting next year. This year, it's close to 20 mil. It's based on nine conference games, Spence. So that's a little difficult to sort of justify the numbers there. But I see what he's saying relative to, well, why don't we do what they're doing? Because if the SEC is rewarded for its parity, the Big 12 is perceived as weak. Or as Reese Davis said, he didn't say, they're not deep, they're wide, which is interesting. It is the land of 7-2, 6-3 in league, as we kind of thought, of 9-3, kind of 8-4. You do have some 10-2 teams, but you don't have that one team that's 11-1 sitting there. BYU very easily could have been that 11-1 team or that 12-0 team. So it's an interesting point. It's an interesting point. I don't think that they would do it, but I understand why it's a conversation.
If you are pro BYU or pro Big 12 for that matter, root for a two-loss team to be your conference champion as it pertains to the college football playoff and all types of chaos in front.
It just stinks that there's not, going to be a second team at all from the Big 12. That would have been nice.
Not great.
Yeah.
Yeah, not ideal because all
ACC
the teams...
has two right now.
And the SEC is probably going to get multiple three-loss teams in. Why can't the Big 12 be in that conversation to have a potential three-loss
team in
there?
The wrong three letters.
Yeah, you're right. It's right. They're playing for the wrong acronym or the wrong conference title, right? It's crazy. Okay, BYU football will be nice and cold this weekend, playing in 20-degree temperatures against Houston under the lights of Love Outdoor Stadium, but hopefully they warm everybody up with a win, get to 10 wins. Meanwhile, BYU basketball will be in actual warm weather in San Diego at UC San Diego, playing in the Rady's Children's Invitational, beginning with a game against 23rd-ranked Ole Miss, and then they'll take on either number 13 Purdue or NC State, who went to the Final Four and a national championship game last year.
Purdue went to the I think it was Purdue-UConn.
Sorry,
right?
Purdue, but NC State went to the Final Four.
Either way, it's a Final Four team from last year.
One of the Final Four teams for BYU in the second game.
Yes.
So what would qualify as a successful showing for BYU men's basketball in the tournament in San Diego?
Give me a win. I would like it to be the first one. Ole Miss, because that's a top 25 team right now. That's a team that's top 50 in KenPom and ESPN BPI. If you get Purdue, that's the best team in there. They're top 8. They're 13 in the AP, 14 in KenPom, 18 in BPI. That would be awesome. But tomorrow's a big game. We don't know how good BYU is. We think BYU's good, but BYU's played 5 games. They should have won at home. And so we're going to see a real test coming up tomorrow against a quality SEC team than a good Big Ten team or ACC team. This is a great set of two games to kind of see where BYU's at, Spence.
Yeah, and Ole Miss, I'm not sure what they have done. I think their biggest challenge to date was probably a win over Colorado State out of the Mountain West.
Who got beat by UC Riverside, who BYU beat, by the way. So there's your connection.
So they played Oral Roberts. They played South Alabama. Grambling was a two-point game on November 8th.
A little weird.
Ole Miss was working out some things, clearly. So, and they played LIU most in that rundown as well. So who have they beaten? They're kind of like Long BYU. BYU is one spot out of the top 25. Ole Miss is just in the top 25. Both these teams, I believe, we're going to find out like what they're about when they play each other. That said, I'm with you. One win. Either beat Ole Miss or figure out a way to beat either NC State or Purdue. I would love the resume boost of BYU beating Ole Miss and then probably having the opportunity to play against Purdue.
That'd be awesome.
That always helps. It helps the KenPom rating. It helps your net ranking.
And which comes out next week, by the way.
Helps you figure out where you actually stand against the elite levels of college basketball. And then BYU, by the way, has to leave San Diego, come home. They're here for like maybe a day. And then they get back on a plane and go all the way to Providence and take on a Friars team who was 5-0. And like BYU hasn't really played anybody until this week.
Big East, how about this? So BYU's going to go three compelling games in a row. SEC, Big Ten or ACC, Big East. This is the toughest three-game set BYU will have, obviously, until Big 12 play coming up on New Year's Eve.
So let me modify the question then. If BYU wins one of the next three, is that good enough?
I need two.
You need two of the next three.
I would
three.
Like two. Like if we think that BYU could challenge for a 5 or 6 seed, you need a little something. Although you can make up for it in Big 12 play. Like if BYU doesn't fare well, goes 1-2 or 0-3 of these, but they're competitive or whatever. Like, okay, show us signs. Because we don't know exactly how good BYU is quite yet. We think they're good. It's just how good? Are you top 50 good? Are you top 25 good?
I don't think BYU's going to have trouble scoring the basketball. My questions all center on defense. And I think that's what the staff is looking at when you take on better teams. How good
BYU's
is the defense
BYU's rebounded
right now?
Really well. They have not defended three-point well, though, line well, though. That'll be an interesting note to watch.
Okay. It's a feast of sports on Thanksgiving.
So good.
Our question of the day, speaking of Thanksgiving, which Turkey Day dish best describes BYU football's 2024 season? Can't wait to see the creativity involved here from all of you.
What are the people saying?
At @y_soup on X says, this year it's the gravy because every win beyond 5, I kept reminding myself, it's all gravy.
I've said this before. Gravy is a necessary component for me. That's not an extra thing. Like when it's all gravy. No, I don't want potatoes just by themselves.
Okay.
I know I was born in Idaho. I'm a spud that way. I moved when I was 2.
Do you like a lot of gravy? Like a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay, then maybe like it's extra gravy. You get the gravy, but
sure.
Maybe it's extra gravy.
Sure.
A heaping. At @D_Ford_P on X answers, mashed potatoes. Really great. Maybe even the best. But when they get cold, not good.
Oh, that's pretty good. Last 2 weeks has not been as enjoyable.
Cold mashed potatoes.
Right? Okay. That's interesting.
That's really good. @KiotOnX says, acorn squash will not elaborate.
What? No.
What?
BYU's in the mix. No.
What?
If BYU was 5-6, maybe. No.
What?
No.
Do you like acorn squash even a little bit?
No.
I'm questioning your attitude, young man or woman, whoever Kiat on X is.
You?
#BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Acorn squash.
Get out of here. Go Wildcats.
If you miss, why are we rooting for Kentucky? If you missed yesterday's episodes of After Further Review and BYU Football with Kleins Take, you can find no mentions of acorn squash on those programs on demand.
After the break, John Kurtz of Open for Business, the Big 12 newsletter. It's great stuff.
I like that newsletter.
Shares his thoughts on the Big 12 showing in the latest CFP rankings and if he thinks Kansas State's going to do BYU a solid favor this weekend.
Come on,
stay
baby.
With us.
Come on, Wildcats.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
When has BYU ever been in this position?
There's still very much a shot for BYU to do this.
Find a way. Sacrifice.
BYU can still get to the Big 12 title.
Really hope we see him in the Big 12 championship.
I don't like you. You don't like me. Let's compete in football.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Happy early Thanksgiving. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Joining us now is a return member of BYU Sports Nation in some capacity. He was on the pregame show, and now he's making his BYUSN Daily debut. He is John Kurtz, open for business, Big 12 newsletter chief extraordinaire. John, welcome back to BYU Sports Nation.
Hey, it's great to see you guys. I appreciate you having me.
Okay, let's just start first things first with, yes, I am wearing a Go Wildcats t-shirt.
Yeah, John. Yeah. Okay. Give it up for Kentucky.
Not Kentucky.
Oh.
Had to go the royal blue for BYU, but obviously in support of the Kansas State Wildcats and the Arizona Wildcats to get BYU into a Big 12 championship game. How do you see this weekend playing out, John?
Man, I like that. I was wondering that when I saw the shirt. I was like, you know, these guys are pretty sharp, man. Boy, it's hard to think that it's not going to be more chaos, right? After we just had a bunch of chaos last week and really the last couple weeks ever since Kansas caught this heater. And where they're at right now, my hope is certainly for the Big 12's sake, and I know we're going to talk more about that with where things stand in the playoff rankings and all that, that it does calm down and that the favorites are going to be pretty locked in. I mean, the difference here is obviously like BYU is playing a team that is capable enough, but certainly not what you saw last week in Arizona State. Same story for Colorado. Oklahoma State maybe has a bit of a spark with a new quarterback last week and Ollie Gordon getting going again, but I don't think that he's going to have a Devin Neal type of day. And Coach Prime kind of sounded the alarm on, hey, we were feeling ourselves a little bit too much there. So I would expect the favorites to take care of business a little bit better. The one game that I do really have my eye on out of all of those teams, obviously Iowa State, K-State. I mean, that's almost a pick 'em, like a 2.5-point spread. That'll be a really tight game. But outside of that, the Territorial Cup, I do wonder about there just because rivalry game, Arizona State coming off of such a high, what they had last week. I think that game could be really tight, but I'm kind of expecting Colorado and BYU to take care of business fairly easily.
Let's go Wildcats. Okay. Yeah. So we'll just be sprinkling that throughout the program, I think, today. Okay. With that said, if favorites for the most part take care of business, that means your Big 12 champ isn't going to have three losses. They're going to have two, as some have maybe postulated and we discussed earlier about, oh, what if there's a three-loss Big 12 team and Tulane and Boise State win their leagues and the Big 12 could be entirely left out of the playoff? I don't see it happening, John. What's the likelihood that this could happen?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of nailed it. Like, as long as the Big 12 has a two-loss champion, they're not going to be left out of the playoff. The problem is going to be if it's a three-loss team, if it is more chaotic. The other piece of this, too, is that, you know, Tulane would have to keep winning for that to happen. They'll play probably Army, I think, in the AAC championship game. I wouldn't expect them to have too much of an issue there. They just drubbed Navy, who runs a very similar kind of offense. But watch out. I mean, on Thanksgiving, we don't get the Egg Bowl anymore, which is a disappointment. But we get a really big G5 game that everybody should be watching with Tulane and Memphis. I mean, they'll have to win that game, too, to make all of this happen. But, man, the committee gave them a healthy dose of respect, putting them all the way up there at number 17 ahead of a K-State team that won at Tulane earlier this year and also has a win at Colorado, who's a ranked team. You know, it just feels like they're getting a lot of credit for the positive loss, the good loss, the quality loss, is really what's going on there, because they have the K-State game and the Oklahoma game. But I think if the scenario that I laid out earlier about this weekend plays out, that the Big 12 is going to be just fine and you'll get somebody with two losses winning the conference championship game. But there's still an issue there, which is that you need Boise to lose or else. I mean, right now, looks like it's going to be virtually impossible for a Big 12 team to jump up like five spots to get in front of Boise if they just keep winning. And that's another schedule that if you go through and look at it and judge the actual wins, I just don't think it stacks up. The strength of schedule certainly does not stack up. You know, you look at BYU's like 39 in strength of schedule, 81 right now for Boise. Unfortunately, Boise is probably going to get that bye unless Oregon State or UNLV are able to beat them before they finish the season.
John Kurtz from the Open for Business Big 12 newsletter is on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, John, looking at the entirety of last night's college football playoff rankings reveal, what or which team has the most egregious ranking, whether too favorable or not favorable enough?
I mean, it's a great question because there are so many choices, like so many different ways you could go with it. Like, I think the one that bothers me the most right now is what I mentioned with Boise because of the strength of schedule, a lack of great, like their two best wins are Washington State, who's now lost two in a row, including one to New Mexico, And then UNLV, who definitely is solid, beat a couple of Big 12 teams in Kansas and Houston. But that doesn't stack up against what these Big 12 teams have done. You know, I mean, BYU, for instance, obviously beating K-State by 29, going on the road at SMU. It just doesn't come close. You know, I get it. I don't want to come down too hard on the G5 schools, and I understand their plight, and that really shouldn't be the enemy here. I mean, the enemy is the SEC and the Big Ten and the whole power structure of football, but it just doesn't make any sense when you hold that up in the light against all these other Big 12 resumes that are 5+ spots down below Boise State. But, like, overall, the one that's really gotten me the entire year up at the top is Texas at 3. I mean, I just, you know, Texas has not beaten a current ranked team right now. If they lose to Texas A&M this week, like, frankly, I think Texas's resume would not be of a college football playoff team. I'm sure they will still get in, and part of that is just the carnage that's happened within the rest of their conference, that there aren't going to be enough sturdy contenders ready to take their spot. But, you know, Texas got punked pretty good at home by Georgia. You know, wins like the Oklahoma and Michigan games that they had earlier in the year, those are not really holding up as anything impressive right now. They got a very light SEC schedule in year one in the conference, and it feels like they're just getting by on reputation, brand value, and I guess the fact that they were in the playoff last year.
Yeah, amen. If you did blind resume with Texas, Penn State, Miami, others, you'd be like, I don't know. What team is that? Oh, look at those logos. Crazy. Yeah. Chris Klieman of Kansas State said this week that the Big 12 is being punished because they played 9 conference games as opposed to, like, the SEC, who had 8. You're getting another non-conference win. Does it feel like too strong a reaction to be like, hey, we should make this change immediately if we're all bought in to get to the playoff as a league?
It's a really interesting and tricky scenario because the things that you're fighting there are, one, like, he is right. Like, the SEC has an advantage by not playing that extra conference game. Like, there is an absolute competitive advantage in what they do there. The problem that the Big 12 faces is that in trying to squeeze every single penny out of every couch cushion that you can right now to keep up with the Joneses as much as you can in college football, you need as much juice as possible for that schedule for the TV broadcast partners to be able to put as many good games on TV as possible. And, like, obviously the SEC and Big Ten are trying to do that too, but it's not quite as paramount because they already have such a big advantage. You know, I mean, we've already seen all the different roads that Brett Yormark is exploring, whether it's private equity, whether it's, you know, naming the conference the All-State 12, like, all of those different things are in an effort to bridge the gap as much as possible and bring in money. So if your TV partners are going to be upset, if it's going to lead to less money for everybody, then you'll have coaches eventually in a revenue-sharing era being like, all right, well, why do I have less money now to pay my roster? And then you'll have coaches complaining on that end of it. So totally understand what Klieman is saying, and the league is going to have to look at doing something if they do get left out or if Boise gets this bye. And, you know, Brett Yormark was preemptively trying to do some of that by talking to Ross Dellinger from Yahoo Sports the other day. So I'm all for bringing all ideas to the table. I just think that's a tricky one because of the situation that you're in from just a financial standpoint.
Okay, John, let's finish with the double-barreled question of sorts. Which two teams do you think will ultimately be playing in the Big 12 championship game in Dallas a week from Saturday? And which two teams playing against each other are the best-case scenario for the Big 12?
Oh, boy, best-case scenario. I'm trying to think about that. I really just think best-case scenario – it's hard to say that Colorado is not a part of that just because of the eyeballs. You know, I mean, they got 6 million plus people to watch that game against Kansas, which was a crazy, crazy number. But they just draw so much attention that I think that you have to include there. So I don't know that the opponent matters so much. You know, BYU, honestly, being more of a national brand, you know, perhaps if you want to play it up from that standpoint, and they got so much attention throughout the year for the undefeated run before it came crashing down the last couple of weeks. So you could probably make a case that Colorado BYU would be the best case scenario for the league. Unfortunately, I do think the reality is, and I hate to do this with the Go Wildcats shirt and all the pomp and circumstance today, but I do think the reality is we are probably looking at Arizona State, Iowa State as the Big 12 championship game. If I were predicting it, that is what I would have as the game right now.
But let's go Wildcats!
Hey, tell Avery Johnson BYU fans are on standby to donate like another 100 grand.
We'll donate more.
To his charity if Kansas State beats Iowa State.
One win.
Absolutely. Hey, we'll do. You know, you guys can put together a nice little video montage of people pumping him up or something. I'll get it to him.
I love that. John, we appreciate the time. Always great to talk to you. Keep up the good work. And remind people how they find more of your work.
Yeah, appreciate that. So the Open for Business Big 12 newsletter, you can subscribe at ofbnews.com, ofbnews.com. And then you can find my work on YouTube as well, just John Kurtz, J-O-H-N-K-U-R-T-Z on YouTube, or follow me on Twitter at JL Kurtz.
Awesome. Thanks, John. Appreciate the time.
Hey, anytime, guys.
John Kurtz, the Open for Business Big 12 newsletter.
I subscribe to the newsletter. It's great. Conference perspective. It's really good. Check it out. Men's Hoops plays number 23 Ole Miss, game one of the Rady's Children's Invitational tomorrow, 5:30 Eastern on FS1 and BYU Radio.
After the break, let's do some basketball preview, shall we? With Dallin Hall, who recently returned to the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Good to have that dude back. How's he feeling? We'll find out next on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Happy Thanksgiving Eve. Let's get to today's headlines.
BYU football has an 87% chance to win against Houston Saturday night, according to ESPN's FPI. Defensive coordinator Jay Hill yesterday on what he expects from Houston's offense after making a change at offensive coordinator yesterday.
I don't think you can change that drastically in 1 week. They'll probably have a wrinkle or two new that maybe this guy did in his last jobs. But I just don't think you can wholesale change in a week, especially at the end of the season like this. I do think there will be a wrinkle or two that we got to be ready for.
Sean Bell is the new offensive coordinator, the former quarterbacks coach at Baylor with Gary Bohannon, as we mentioned yesterday. Jay Hill, by the way, congratulations, one of 65 nominees for the top assistant coach in college football for the Broyles Award.
Well deserved. Keep him at BYU for as long as you can. BYU football drops 5 spots to number 19 in this week's college football playoff rankings. Cougars remain the third highest ranked Big 12 team behind number 16 Arizona State and number 18 Iowa State. BYU wide receiver and kick returner Keelan Marion named a finalist for the Jet Award, which goes to the premier return specialist in the country. Marion tied for first in the country with 2 kickoff return touchdowns this season.
That's funny because you give that out to your son, Jet, every year. That's really interesting.
He wins it every year.
Yeah, he wins it every year. Like how many years running now? 7, 8?
9.
Years? 9 years running? Chris Brooks, Zane Anderson, and the Packers play the Dolphins on Thanksgiving tomorrow. That's a really juicy matchup.
BYU men's basketball taking on number 23 Ole Miss in game one of the Rady Children's Invitational in San Diego tomorrow. The Cougars will then face either number 13 Purdue or NC State in game two on Black Friday.
Women's basketball plays Rice in game one of the Cancun Challenge tomorrow on BYU Radio at 9 Eastern and on Flow College.
Sunburn Jason Shepard on the call.
Nice. You won't see it, though.
BYU women's volleyball takes on number 11 Kansas tonight. Huge challenge. Final week of the regular season. You can watch at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN+.
Women's track and field and cross country announced the signing of 3 athletes yesterday. Boston Bybee from Highland, Utah. Jane Hedengren from Provo, Utah. And Zariel Macchia from Mastic Beach, New York.
And BYU cross country men's head coach Ed Istone and women's head coach Diljit Taylor both named Mountain Region Coaches of the Year by the USTF CCCA yesterday. We now welcome in Dallin Hall, standout guard for BYU men's basketball, who
He's
is
back,
getting
baby.
Ready to take on number 23 Ole Miss in the Rady's Invitational tomorrow from San Diego. Dallin, great to have you back in the lineup. Great to have you back on the show. Everybody wants to know, how are you feeling after that first game back?
Yeah, no, that's got to be the most asked question I've heard over the last month and a half. But I feel great. I feel super blessed. A lot of gratitude for the people who helped me get back. Like, I just want to give a special shout out to Wiz and Rob, our athletic trainer, and Coach Brady, and then my guy, Trey Stewart, who was going through it with me. So just a lot of gratitude and a lot of excitement for what's ahead.
Okay, 5-0, all games at home that you probably should have won, right? Now you have some real challenges coming up with Ole Miss, who's a top 25 team, and then Purdue or NC State. What do you look forward to the most about bigger challenges the next couple of days?
Yeah, we're super excited. You know, at the beginning of this year, our coaches really did a great job of bringing in the right guys. And so we have some big goals for ourselves as a team. And we feel like this is the first step for us to get out there and prove ourselves to ourselves, really, because that's what this is about, is our journey. And so just a lot of excitement. Ole Miss is a great team, and we feel like it's a great opportunity to play a team that's really going to challenge us.
Dallin, how do you feel like your role has evolved, if at all, as you work your way back into this lineup and get back to full speed?
Yeah, I'm just trying to do whatever it takes, you know, still figuring out that space a little bit. But my role is just to help my teammates as a point guard be the best versions of themselves. And so whether that's through leadership or sharing the ball or scoring the ball, you know, I'm just trying to find that. And so it's been super fun with Yegor. I obviously have more opportunities to play off ball and more catch and shoots because that dude's such an incredible passer. And so kind of filling that space out a little bit, but just trying to stay aggressive and help my team.
It's not a problem in any way, shape, or form, but it's a situation where you got to figure out, like, are you taking it up? Am I taking it up? Who initiates? Kevin Young told me before the game against Mississippi Valley State that Chris Paul told him, hey, sometimes it's nice to not have to initiate the offense. It takes something out of you. Do you feel like you can have a little more energy and that it'll add something to your game, given that there are two point guards on the floor with Yegor and you?
Yeah, I think so, for sure. Like, I'll have more energy on both ends of the floor. We can kind of take it off each other when there's full court pressure. And so I'm excited with that, just because with the Big 12 and with these teams that we're about to start playing, they do pressure full court for most of the game. And so that gives me more energy to guard defensively, to attack offensively. And so just super excited for it. You know, we're going to see how it pans out and work the dynamic to its fullest.
Down through five games, and of course the one that you played in, what is BYU basketball as a team and a unit doing best right now?
I would say that we're just playing unselfish, sharing the ball offensively. And then defensively, I think, well, both sides were rebounding at a really high level and protecting the basketball. So those are a couple things that jump out immediately to my mind. And that's got to be our identity. Coach Young said that at the beginning when he got here, is great teams are unselfish and they rebound the basketball and, you know, they play hard defense. And so that's the space we're trying to get better at defensively, is guarding the 3-point line. But we feel like we have a lot of the tools and it's just taking it game by game.
First road trip of the year. So who's been the loudest guy? Who's been the funny guy? Who's the quiet guy on the team? What's the dynamic like?
Yeah, loudest guy. Let's see. Well, we had a mariachi band welcome us to our hotel.
Nice.
With a bunch of BYU fans. So, yeah, that was really cool. That's something new. But, yeah, I would say, you know, Elijah Crawford, the guy who has a lot of energy. He's my roommate, so he makes it fun. Trey Stewart, obviously, you know, big part of our team and what we do, and Trevin Nell. And so those are some guys that really make it fun. And then we got a lot of chill guys. Boost, he just likes to get his rest, get his sleep so that he can dominate on the floor. So we got a good dynamic.
Dallin, we wish you a bountiful Thanksgiving feast after a nice win against Ole Miss, assuming the Thanksgiving feast is going to happen after the game, right?
Yeah, I think we have a kind of a warm-up one tomorrow, or tonight, I should say. And then
okay.
We'll see what it looks like tomorrow.
The feast is on the court. Let's go.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
Be well, brother. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Dallin Hall on BYU Sports Nation.
From America's finest city.
Indeed. It really is.
I love San Diego.
It is my favorite city to visit.
That's where I went on my honeymoon.
Entire country.
Yeah.
It's not it's good thing it's not expensive, Jerem, right?
Luckily, no. Said no one.
Hey, up next, let's go back to BYU football. I go one-on-one with BYU center Connor Pay. Or is he a guard this week? Or a tackle on the offensive
line? Whoa, 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 what?
He answers that question. A unique senior night setup. And how does he balance the emotions of playing against Houston while scoreboard watching? This is BYUSN. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Yesterday, I had a chance to speak with BYU veteran offensive lineman, typically the center, but he's played every position there, Connor Pay, discussing what he expects in the Houston game, preparing for senior night, and scoreboard watching leading up to the game. This is Connor Pay. Connor, first of all, happy Thanksgiving. The family on the mind, and the Pay family being a legacy family for BYU football. What are you looking forward to most about enjoying some family time before you experience senior night?
Just during football season, it's pretty rare for me to get to see my extended family that's in Utah. You know, just an occasional Sunday dinner maybe during the season. Thankfully, since we get Sundays off at BYU, I'll get to see them. So I'm pretty excited just that my whole family's going to be there. And it's been really since the season began, since I've seen all of them together like that. So I'm pretty excited.
What are your emotions like as you near senior night at Lavelle Edwards Stadium for this matchup with Houston?
I mean, it's just business as usual. Thankfully, I legitimately thought last year was going to be my last time playing there, so I kind of went through the emotions already, and so now I know what to expect, and so I can just kind of go about the week as usual. I'm sure it'll be emotional after the game when, you know, I'm walking off that field in my uniform for the last time. I'm sure that'll be pretty emotional, but I think in the prep leading up, it's kind of just been business as usual, to be honest.
I know item number one on the agenda list is clearly take care of business against Houston, get to 10 wins, which is an incredible feat in and of itself in just year two of Power 5 play. But then there are some outside factors that need to happen to allow BYU to get into a Big 12 championship game. So how do you approach that day, watching the Arizona game and then keeping an ear on the Kansas State-Iowa State game as you get ready for your game at night?
I think, you know, it's going to be a test of mental toughness, right? Because you're kind of watching your destiny play out on the screen before you ever take the field. But at the end of the day, those games don't matter a lick if we don't go and do our job on Saturday night. So I think when you have that in your mind, and just not being focused on the results, I think that was, you know, something that we're trying to shift in the mindset of the team these last 2 weeks. It's like these last couple weeks, it's been kind of win and you're in, and we've been thinking so much about the result and not as much about the process of how to get there, you know, and that's what we're focused on here, trusting the process so we can go and play better than we have, especially on offense against Houston.
What do you know about Houston's defense and what they're going to try and do to cause BYU some issues on Saturday night?
Well, they're really solid in the sense that you don't see them get pushed off the line a lot. They're big and they're strong on the inside, and they run some little movements. They try to kind of play with what fronts they're in and try to get you confused, but they're really solid and strong in their gaps, you know, and so it's pretty rare to catch them out of position. You've got to beat them man on man to create a hole or do something like that. So I think they're just overall, they're really solid on defense. You know, probably one of the better defenses we'll have played so far this year.
Not only a solid front that you face, but, and you've avoided for much of the year, but now you're shuffling the deck on the offensive line a little bit to get over some injuries. So how will the offensive line and the shakeup there be affected by those injuries?
It's got to just be next man up, you know. Everyone's been preparing the same way the whole season, and so, you know, we'll probably be shuffled around a little bit, not totally sure how it'll end up looking or who we're going to get back in time for the game. It's kind of up in the air, but, I think it's just you have to get in there and you got to play. All right, you got to play, and it's the first thing is knowing what you're supposed to be doing. So even if you might be playing out of position or you're a backup that's now elevated and you're a starter, as long as you know what to do, we can help each other, you know, kind of take care of the rest. And everyone in the room knows what the expectation is when you're on the field.
Is there a position on the offensive line that you have not played while you've been at BYU?
No. Nope.
So needless to say, if you're at right tackle or left tackle or center or one of the guard positions, yeah, you feel ready right now?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Speaking of the BYU offense and just the scheme and what has worked well in terms of success, the two-minute offense kind of feels like BYU's superpower right now. What is it about the two-minute offense that's working so well for the Cougars?
Well, I think, for one, I think that's kind of where Jake excels as a quarterback. You know, he does really, really well in the two-minute offense. And I think for us, I think sometimes the mindset of just kick it and rip it is a good one for us, where, like, we're going fast. Like, hey, line up, call the play, run it. don't overthink anything. Don't have to think too much. Just go do your job. And, so I think all of those factors kind of play a role. And obviously it's an advantage when you can be snapping the ball when the defense isn't fully prepared yet. And so I think for those reasons, it probably has been, a good thing for us this year.
I know you obviously want to get to Dallas and have a shot at the Big 12 championship. But because of what happened against Arizona State and the emotions of that, do you lean towards desiring a matchup against Arizona State?
I mean, I'll take any chance we can get to get there. You know, obviously because of the way we performed these last 2 weeks, it's somewhat out of our hands at this point. You know, we need to take care of business on Saturday, and then we need some help. All right, but obviously would love another crack at ASU if we could get it. And then obviously if things go the other direction and we end up playing Iowa State or, end up just going to a bowl game, we're going to be fired up for that as well. You know, you can't necessarily be mad about it when it was your own fault for being in the position that you're in right now. But we'll take any chance we can get there, and that starts with playing well on Saturday.
Okay, speaking of the meal on Thursday, what's your favorite Thanksgiving meal dish?
I'd probably say homemade mashed potatoes. It's probably what I'd say. Turkey's just okay, honestly.
I'm with you.
Stuffing sucks. A good homemade mashed potatoes is awesome.
Let's get this man some mashed potatoes, yeah, for sure. Okay, and then obviously we're going to send you all the BYU Sports Nation karma we can manage to have a successful senior night. It's been fun to watch you play football at BYU. We're looking forward to watching you play multiple games more, Connor.
Yes, that's the plan. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, brother.
5 years.
Hey, listen to Connor's podcast on BYU Radio as well.
There we go. 2-point conversion. me and Chase, we love doing that. It's been a blast. So thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, listen to 2-point conversion. Also, listen to the BYU women's basketball team play Rice in their first game of the Cancun Challenge tomorrow at 9 Eastern on BYU Radio.
What Thanksgiving dish best describes BYU football's 2024 season? More clever replies after this on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We're asking for our question of the day: what Thanksgiving dish best describes BYU football's 2024
season? Let's go, Wildcats! That's
get
not
it done.
For Kentucky.
Get it done.
For Arizona.
Come on.
And
K-State, Arizona. Let's go.
Yep.
Yeah, we're all in on that. Also, back to the question of the day. We're discussing Thanksgiving dishes. At Wack Zilson on X says, Martinelli's apple cider. Sweet and punchy at first, but loses its fizz down the line. Hopefully still a cause for celebration. Hey.
There's still celebrating to be had.
Let's pop a new bottle when BYU gets to Dallas, okay?
Yes. We'll know Saturday, man. Let's go.
Nick from PDX on X says, turkey started off delicious, warm, seasoned. Ended it being dry and tough to swallow. Looking for the leftovers now to create deliciousness for December.
Yes, there's still some deliciousness to be had here. And we need help.
100%!
We need help! But we accept said help. Let's go.
At Arrowhead CTB24 on Instagram says, frog eye salad.
What
Why?
Is that?
It's Jell-O. There's Jell-O involved in that.
Oh, I see it.
Okay?
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever had that.
We've had acorn squash and frog eye salad with no explanations for either.
Yeah.
All right?
Thanks.
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, from at It's a Jelly 1 on X, who says, pumpkin pie, staring at a giant orange gourd, fearing the worst. And then Kalani takes it and turns it into the best pie you've tasted in years. Win a conference championship, and that is the extra cream on top. Still, as good as it is, there are still haters. Go Cougs.
That's why it's the elite voice.
That's fantastic.
That was elite, not delete.
Well cogitated, Jeremy.
Well cogitated, as someone once gave to us in a letter.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about Ed Eyestone and Diljit Taylor named the Mountain Region Head Coaches of the Year? They might as well be the National Coaches of the Year, not just the region. Congratulations to them. Some well-deserved time off enjoying the national championships. And happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Hopefully it's filled with food and family and football and all the awesome things that life gives us. We're grateful for you.
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving indeed. Our thanks to today's guests, John Kurtz, Dallin Hall, and Connor Pay.
Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time. We'll be off tomorrow, but back for Black Friday.
Eat a lot. Enjoy the day.
I will, dude. You too. Give Jet the Jet Award again.
Absolutely. He's got it. It's done. It's secured. For Jeremiah, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Houston alum Dave Rose. We'll see you back on Friday. Go Cougs. Go Wildcats!
Let's go Wildcats!